Hello, everyone. Thanks so much for listening to Getting Savvy in Health, Wealth, and Beauty. Important to note that everything is for entertainment purposes only. Please do speak and meet with a financial advisor before making any investment decisions. And also, please meet and speak with your GP before making any health or beauty decisions. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Getting Savvy. I am Catherine Murray, a little bit of a moderator here, I suppose. Many years on Wall Street, not a veteran, a seasoned professional, and then, of course, a news anchor on BNN Bloomberg for over 10 years, and now I have my hands in a few things, including Still TV, the news forum. I have a show called The Buck Stops Here with Catherine Murray. It's weekly, half an hour with one guest, so we really get in depth in terms of different items that affect you, your money, your business, and your opportunity. That's me, Melissa Yu.
Hi, I'm Dr. Melissa Hirschberg, a medical physician, been practicing in Toronto for over 15 years, mostly in preventative health and concierge health is my sort of area of focus. As well as weight loss expert, I've published two books on diet and weight loss, The Hirschberg Diet and The Rebel Diet, and also have created a plan called The Good Diet Plan, and aesthetic medicine enthusiast, injector, lover of all things beauty.
There you go. And fun and fabulous.
Yes.
And importantly as well for everybody to listen, you know, from the financial perspective, make sure you do your own homework, you get financial advice. It's really important. Even though I've been in the business for such a long time, I have so many people I talk to. I had two long conversations today about the markets and what stocks look interesting and different perspectives, what the narrative is. So from that perspective, again, this is for informational and purposes only and entertainment purposes only. So most of you probably echo the same comment.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is an entertaining and informative podcast, but this is not to be taken as direct advice. So always check with your health professional, investment professional, et cetera. But I mean, the goal is to learn something.
Yeah.
And I think that's my favorite part of listening to podcasts. So if I come out feeling a little bit smarter or more educated, then it gives me something to then go and look up more and research more about.
Absolutely. Why don't we, and one of the things about what we're doing, and, you know, it's, I know some people are just kind of joining, which is great. I also think it's fun to kind of start from the beginning, because a lot of these stories that we're talking about, we actually carry through when there's new news. So this is also news. If you're trying to get caught up on some news items, whether it's healthcare wise, beauty wise, and or in the finance perspective, you know, we're going to always give you the most up to date, but also carry the story through. So why don't I just start with that, Melissa, in terms of the markets, as we've been talking about, the markets have been absolutely on fire since, certainly all year, but certainly a huge jump up in many stocks in certain areas of the market post the U.S. presidential election. I had maybe a little bit of a stall out a couple of weeks ago, but certainly a stall out this week. Markets have been trading a little bit lower as it relates to the TSX, so the Canadian market, as well as the S&P 500. Why is that happening? Maybe a little bit of exhaustion. You know, we've had such a huge ramp up. Some people are saying that you'll often see what's called a Santa Claus rally occur towards the very end of December, and maybe we got it a little bit earlier. So there's profit taking. I mean, that's just what's going to happen. There's a lot of big money managers out there that have to show good performance, so they're going to take profits right now. So that could be part of it. I would, however, point out that the NASDAQ, so that's one of the exchanges in the United States, which is very tech heavy. It's known for being the exchange where a lot of the tech companies are traded, tech and biotech. And that actually hit a record high this week, passing 20,000. What does that mean? What does that number mean? It just means that there's continued momentum and continued interest in technology companies, those big bellwethers like Google and Facebook, which is now called Meta, Apple, Tesla, once again, had a huge rally this week. And why is that? It's because a lot of these tech companies, well, A, we use tech so much, but there a lot of them are putting more money towards CapEx as it relates to AI. We all hear about this, that AI is the new hot trend. Nobody wants to, you know, miss that boat. So you're seeing a lot of interest in continuing to own these companies, pushing that NASDAQ higher. The only other thing I'd say, well, first of all, I'll let me stop there. Melissa, any thoughts on what I said?
Yeah, I'm just thinking, like, for our viewers, when you say things like people want to take profits, that means sell some of their stocks, right? Sell some. Okay,
Yeah,
got it. Just
good
want to
point.
clarify so that
That's
we know.
important.
Because if you're not that, if you don't know investing lingo, and I think
You're
it just helps
right.
to clarify for people.
Yeah, for sure, because the markets have been so strong this year. So if you're up 30% in a stock or even up 60%, maybe I take that whole 60% I just made off the table. I still keep my original investment in, but I've just made 60% on my money. So, if you make 60% on $10,000, you're up 6,000, you take that money out, you might buy something else with it, or you might go shopping.
Yeah, totally.
Or pay bills or pay your mortgage down. The big news, though, as it relates to Canada and Canadians, was the Bank of Canada this week. They did lower interest rates once again to the tune of 50 basis points. That's the second 50 basis point move. And, the Bank of Canada is saying that, growth is lower than they were thinking. And remember, we talked about growth being below 1%. So we basically have no growth in Canada, which isn't good. And that's why they're lowering the interest rates. If you lower interest rates, it makes financing easier, takes less strain, takes strain off the household and the bank and the businesses. The problem with that, though, is it's a bit of a band-aid solution, Melissa. It's not solving the issue that we have here in Canada, which is no growth compared to so many of the other G7 countries. Having said that as well, people who've kind of been against this 50 basis point move point out that the only times we've seen such a large cut, an outsized cut in the interest rate, remember 50 basis points means half a percentage point. The only time we've seen that is during the dot-com bust, so the internet bubble when it burst back in the early 2000s, and during the financial crisis. So yeah, so the problem is you're almost signaling that there's a crisis, which maybe there is, or they're
So
just
you're
trying.
saying lowering the interest rate signals that there's a crisis?
Well, it signals that you need to ease up on the economy. You need to help the economy out by lowering interest rates. When it's done to the tune of a half a percentage point, that's what I mean by that
Okay, that's when you're
size of the
getting worried.
cut is the sizing. So 25 basis point, fine. 30 basis point, fine. 50, what's happening? I will point
Interesting.
out though
So,
that
and
the
it's also just, is it also when they're saying, okay, we think inflation's under control now, under better control now, we can lower? Okay. But is it that much under better control that would warrant that amount of a cut?
Well, I think that's a great point. And I think that if we all remember going back a year and a half ago, every central banker around the world said we will never see inflation. And then we saw inflation. And then they all had to raise rates, which turned people's balance sheets upside down. And now they're saying, oh, now we have to lower rates because there's too much strain on the economy. So to me, I do have a beef with this. Is inflation under control? If you ask people who
Oh, from
can't
where I'm
afford,
seeing,
right? The food inflation is high, housing affordability is very high. The United States just came out with some of their inflation data this morning, and it was somewhat in line, still expecting the Fed to cut next week, but the food prices were up once again. So, you have to remember that as however these central bankers around the world calculate inflation, it doesn't necessarily mean it represents what you and me and every Canadian feels. And that's a bit of a misnomer. In other words, they need to look at the calculation and make sure it's really reflective of how we live.
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think that it is scary that we might be facing recession here, or in a recession here in Canada. And I think they're worried that people are going to default on their mortgages and lots of businesses going under. And I think they need to ease up so people, to help out the average Canadian. But it makes me a little worried about our economy.
Absolutely. And they're doing it to help out the Canadian on a daily basis, but we also, as I
In the
said last
long
week,
term,
We have to fix the growth problem. There's no growth. We've said we're not open for business here in Canada. We've, turned away through regulations and tax and carbon tax. The United States doesn't have a carbon tax, by the way. So if you're a business, why would you come here and get taxed if you can go there? But importantly, the Canadian dollar went down again. So what
God.
does that mean? That means, again, we're importing inflation. Like, just look in our stores. We don't make all of this stuff, so we have to import it using a weaker Canadian dollar, which means we need to use more Canadian dollars, which means there's less Canadian dollars in your bank account.
Yeah.
Simple.
Yeah.
But we have to connect those dots. But anyways, that was the big news in the market, really. Just a little bit of a pullback, a little bit less enthusiasm other than the tech heavy stocks and the Bank of Canada cutting rates. ECB, so the European Central Bank, they cut rates today by 50 basis points as well. Sorry, 25 basis points. So they also are trying to help their economy. Europe is quite weak right now. That's not new news, but that's where they're at. And yeah, that's it on my end for the update on the markets. But let's talk about another story though that we're following, which is the UNH, the killing of the UNH CEO from last week.
Yeah, people, this has obviously caught the attention of people across the world. It's awful, it's tragic. But it also has gotten a lot of people talking about the healthcare system and the problems with the insurance companies and the healthcare systems in the US. It's got Canadians talking about the differences between our healthcare system. And also, it's just got people speculating and just puzzled, like, why would this person do it? So they did find now they've charged this Luigi Mangione is his name, a guy from Maryland who, when you look at him, looks to have this great life. He was a valedictorian of his high school. He went to U graduated from UPenn, comes from a very wealthy family, in residential in real estate. They were a big builder family. There were I think golf clubs like named after them. Like, he comes from a, he's a good-looking guy, which obviously people are talking about on the internet. Why would he do this? And people are just, they can't help but try to figure it out. And, you know, initially when I heard this, I thought, was, is this somebody who was just denied, you know, who was trying to get coverage for a procedure that he or a family member needed and got so frustrated with the insurance that he just was driven to this, or was there something else that was motivating it? And so it seems now the story that I've heard most recently, and again, like, I don't know, this is just what I'm reading online, is that it seems like he suffered from a chronic back condition, something called spondylolisthesis, which is a bit of a mouthful. But essentially, what it means is that the bones in your spine are called vertebrae. And when they get misaligned, when one vertebrae gets out of alignment with the other, that's what we call spondylolisthesis. Now, some people can have this and have no symptoms. And it's just seen, oh, incidentally on imaging. Other people, it can render them pretty much in chronic pain. And it sounds like he was somebody that suffered a lot from this condition. He had it in his lower back. He had chronic pain for years, was on pain medication. And then it looks like just last year, he ended up having surgery for it. So it gives it what makes you speculate? Well, is it that he was so upset that he had to wait to get covered for that surgery for so long? And that's why he was upset? Was he in pain for so many years that got addicted to pain medication? Could that have been something that set him off? Could it be that there was just mental health issue? I mean, there's so, I mean, we don't know. Like, that's why it'll be so interesting to end up hearing from him or family members and hearing more of the story. But I can tell you, like, and it's also interesting that he comes from such a wealthy family because you think, well, if you can pay for it in the US, couldn't he have just gotten the best care possible and pay? We always think of US healthcare as being, you know, the best in the world if you can afford it. So I don't know, the story's just not totally adding up to me. But I can tell you in Canada, when I refer patients, I have a lot of patients that have, you know, chronic back pain. And it's months and months and months before you can see an orthopedic or neurosurgeon for back surgery. It's a big problem here, even, you know, as it is in the US. So, yeah, I mean, I don't
We
know.
don't know. We don't know yet. It does seem as though he was unhappy with the corporate world and corporate society. That's, you know, some of what I think we've been hearing. But the one aspect I couldn't believe, and you tell me this, because I think that when you go through medical school, you have to also take psychology. I can't understand. There's these women on TikTok or wherever professing their love for him.
Yeah.
What is that about?
Don't know, but you see this. What was that Netflix documentary, the show that just came out recently about those brothers,
The
the Menendez
Menendez brothers.
brothers? Oh my God, there were women sending them love letters in jail.
There
I don't
must
know.
be a name for this,
I think
Melissa.
women are naturally, some women can be too empathic. And they feel, oh, this is such a good looking, you know, guy. What happened?
Yeah.
What made him so miserable? They want to, like, you know, women want to feel they need to save people or, you know, help or change somebody. Or they have this fantasy. And I guess, but I think men suffer from the same thing. They
Yeah.
see a beautiful woman online and they forget about some of the.
They forget they're married with three kids.
Yes, they just forget. Oh, well, you know.
Forgot.
Yeah. Anyhow, I don't know, but I mean, he is good looking.
Yeah, but so Melissa, you and I about 10 years ago was in well, it was before I met Les, and we were talking about dating and the physiological phases that you go through. When you're dating and you're so excited and you think that that's the person that you marry because it's just so hot to trot. And then what happens? And because this isn't about being married and having, you know, the chores. There's something more here.
It is like some people are addicted to that. It's like oxytocin, that chemical, that love chemical when you're falling in love that usually lasts for the first like 2 years of a relationship. You get this oxytocin high, and then naturally it just, you know, fades. And some people are addicted to that constant feeling, you know?
I thought that
So,
was so interesting, though, that this oxy, whatever it is, person, I don't know how you can remember all these words. Yes, that's why you went to medical school and I didn't. But I can't believe that it lasts, like, it kind of is known to last 2 years. That's so interesting.
Well, about the time to meet somebody, fall in love, get pregnant, have
Oh.
the baby, then bye-bye. Maybe evolutionarily, from an evolutionary perspective, they're like, yeah, that's about right. 2 years, move on to the
That is
next.
about, you're right. Okay, that does make sense. I thought you meant like getting, once you're married, it's 2 years, but no, it's that
No,
whole
from the time
buildup.
that you meet somebody, fall in love, and start that whole, yeah,
Okay, that makes sense.
process.
That makes sense. So I also want to just bring up, you know, some of the, and this is the hard and odd thing about the markets and investing in the sense that you would think that when there are wars on, the markets would be, or when a war starts, you would think that the markets would plummet and stay down, and they don't, right? And so, you know, when you look at the effect of the UNH CEO killing, there are some analysts now who are saying, you know, if you are a publicly traded company and your CEOs are visible, well, first they're taking their pictures off the internet, which, you know, I talked to somebody in law enforcement the other night about this, and they said, you know, we should be able to protect our citizens to the degree where you shouldn't have to take your picture down. And I do agree with that. In the absence of that right now, or in the midst of it, these pictures are being taken down. But there's also a view that more companies are going to start buying private jets so that their CEOs aren't traveling commercially. Yeah. So on the back of that, you
But
have
then you
companies.
have other people saying, okay, rather than hiding CEOs and protecting it, maybe you need to get ahead of the actual issue. And
That's what I'm
so,
saying. And
and
that's
you
with
know,
the law enforcement. Yeah.
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 No, but I'm talking about get ahead of the actual issue. Like some of these healthcare insurance companies, rather than
Oh.
just hiding their top executives and putting a wall
Sure.
around them,
Yeah.
maybe they need to face the public and say, okay, this opened our eyes. There are a lot
Right.
of disgruntled people, and we need to do better.
Yeah.
And we are going to address it. People need to feel heard, right? So by hiding, and I mean, look, no one should feel scared for their life and they're on a daily basis just because they work for a company. But I still think they need to address the public and how and
Sure.
all the social media that has come out. And like, you know, there's so many people now coming out with stories of them losing their loved ones or feeling just constantly
Mm-hmm.
beaten down by not being able to afford a procedure they needed. And
Sure.
I think they need to start, I
You know
think it
what?
might be some
Yeah.
change. Yeah.
That's a great point. I hope
Yeah.
that they hear that. I hope they think of it that way. Because you're right, there could be a lot more people who feel emboldened, unfortunately, in some way, even though we don't even know that that was his issue. And it doesn't sound like it was, but that is certainly where people went to in the first moments.
Yeah, it's scary. And what's also scary is like I still don't understand this when they say that his gun, he had a 3D printed gun. Like
Yeah.
I don't even know what that means.
How you
Like
create a gun through
how you
3D.
create a gun, like that to me is terrifying.
Yes.
You know, and I mean this is a whole debate about I mean I guess if it was here in Canada, you know, I mean obviously you can get a gun if you it's just less likely to happen here, I think. You know, we don't have the same access to guns.
Sure. Yeah, you can go anywhere in a
Yeah.
lot of places. But I just want to mention that Bombardier, the Canadian company
Yeah.
Bombardier, so BBD.B is the ticker there, is one of the companies that's been highlighted by various analysts who cover
Oh, really?
aerospace and defense because they make private jets. Bombardier does.
Huh. So they're thinking that the, but wouldn't you think those people travel on private jets already?
No, because after the finan was it after the financial crisis? Around that time, I can't remember, a lot of companies had, and maybe even after the dot-com, a lot of companies were criticized for having too many planes.
Oh.
So a lot as an expense, so a lot of companies pulled back on that and got rid of their corporate jets. I mean, many big companies, of course, still have one,
Yeah.
but if they had two, they pulled back on it.
No, interesting. Okay. Well.
So that's the UNH story. What you told me as well, or I think you want to talk about this, there's a new screening for cervical cancer.
Yeah, so I was just reading that this is more in the US than here, but the US Preventative Health Task Force guidelines for screening cervical cancer just got updated. So right now, the main screening test for cervical cancer is a Pap smear, which most women are familiar with. It's an uncomfortable test that we have to go through, where a direct sample of the cervix is taken, looking for abnormal cells, which could signal either cervical cancer or a condition leading up to cervical cancer. And now in the US, they're saying instead of that, women can opt to do a self. Can opt to do a self swab, just a quick vaginal swab that they do themselves that just looks for HPV. And that's the virus that's usually associated with cervical cancer. And they're saying so with your a woman 30 or over, every 5 years, you just swab yourself, go to the bathroom, swab yourself, give it to the doctor, and you don't have to undergo that uncomfortable Pap smear anymore.
That's
And
incredible.
right, because the thinking now is that HPV, which is human papillomavirus, so HPV is a group of about 150 linked viruses, but some of those versions are higher risk for cervical cancer. So most sexually active people, about 80%, have been exposed to HPV at some point in their life. So if you're an adult, if you're sexually active, chances are you've had HPV. But most of the versions of it are quite easy for our immune system to clear. So you just clear it like you do a common cold, and you would never know one way or the other because it really is asymptomatic. However, certain strains of HPV don't clear as easily, and they can cause cellular changes on the cervix, which in time, if not treated, will then turn into cervical cancer. So the feeling is now just screen for HPV. If you catch it, then you would go on to the next step and look at the cervix and treat abnormal cells if they were there. So it's interesting. I think that the big thing here is that cervical cancer is a preventable cancer. The problem is a lot of women don't have doctors or just don't feel comfortable having a doctor do a Pap smear. So they don't get screened. And they dying of cervical cancer that could have been totally prevented. So the feeling is this test is so much easier to do. A woman can swab herself and it only needs to be done every 5 years. So they're thinking by doing this, it would make the screening more accessible, Now in Canada, we don't have that guideline yet. The screening guidelines here are still to do a Pap smear every 3 years, as a screen. Obviously, if you test positive, the screening guidelines change. You would do it more frequently. However, you can pay for the HPV test here. So you can ask your doctor for it. And there's an option to get that test if you want it. It's not the covered OHIP or publicly health funded test yet here.
So do you mean, so I'm looking it up. It looks like it's called Life Labs. Do I have the right one?
Well, Life Labs is one of our biggest lab providers here, and they sell it.
It's only $129.
It's so amazing. So, like, if you don't have a doctor and you can't get a Pap test, I mean, we still recommend that that's the recommended screening test here in Canada. But if you want to order this test, you can.
Interesting. Well, just think about the time and the money that's saved for the healthcare system and the prevention.
Absolutely.
It's
And now
incredible.
with the HPV vaccines, that girls are getting in high school, the combination of the vaccines, these easier screening tests, hopefully cervical cancer can be something that, no one has to die from.
That's incredible. It's the technology that has allowed us to really move forward in some of these things.
Absolutely.
Melissa, I just want to, one of the things that moving on here to another topic, I'm getting great feedback on the podcast and people saying, I still haven't started. I don't know really how to start. So I thought it'd be really helpful to break it down a little bit in terms of how in the world do you actually start this. And in one of the first podcasts, we talked about open up an online trading account. And the reason why I think it's so important is because if you do it on your phone and you look at it in the morning and everything's down, markets open at 9:30, by the way, and everything's down, you'll have almost a sense as to something's going on in the world. It gives you so much knowledge and information just right there. So it keeps you more aware so that even if you have, and I recommend it to have a financial advisor, you're just going to be more in the game, number one. Number two, when you watch the markets and you know that the market is up 28%, and then you go in for your review with your financial advisor, and this happens, and he says, you've done so well, you're at 15%, it matches your risk profile, you should say, wait a second, no, the market's up 29%. Is my risk profile so conservative that all I have is cash? Or did you put me in some stuff that's totally not working and tell me the truth? So it gives you the knowledge to be powerful when you sit down with your financial advisor.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what happened to me. That's exactly how I got started with all of this. One day I just woke up and said, wait a minute, how come this is my return? When I look at how the market's doing, and then I started thinking, like, I'm young and I have, hopefully a lot of life ahead of me. Like, why am I invested this way? Why am I so conservative? Why am I just like a passive participant in my wealth, like in my, I'm working so hard. I don't want to be a hamster on a wheel. Just, I want to understand. So then I started, that was sort of the impetus to help me start understanding a little bit more and being more actively involved. And, as we talked about, if you're not, if you're still too apprehensive to do it all on your own, it's okay. At least being informed and educated will allow you to have a better discussion. And I feel the same way with healthcare. People now are more informed because of Dr. Google or whatever you want to call it. So when they go into their doctor, they're not necessarily ordering their own blood tests and doing their stuff, but at least they can have an educated conversation with their doctor and say, hey, how come we're not looking at this? Hey, do you think that I should get referred here? And they will get better health care. You have to advocate for yourself.
So the advocate for your health care and advocate for your wealth.
Absolutely. And so when we say, so I really think we should do like even like a video or a fun reel or something showing people. People think of this as like, oh, but it's so complex, I don't know how to do it. But I was sort of saying to you, like a metaphor is that like if you can download a shopping app, like if you can download Revolve or whatever one you use, Or the Zara app, or what, you know, if you can download it and you can browse and look at things and you can order, then it's not that different to be
Yeah.
able to use some of the, I mean, obviously you're, it's not that different. So, and
Very
you don't have to
similar.
start with huge, big amounts either. I think the best way for people to get started is just set up a trading account,
Yep.
you know.
TFSA, I would recommend a TFSA. We've talked about that. Everything you earn in the account is tax-free. So you might as well take advantage of that. And you have to know, so talk to your accountant how much you're allowed to put in per year. And if you haven't done it at all, you can probably have a huge catch-up of something like 40,000 or 70,000. It's huge if you haven't
Yeah,
done it.
and even just set it up and then even just buy one stock by yourself, whether
Right.
it's an index or a stock, and it doesn't have to be a lot. You could buy, you know, a couple $100, but just
That's
something so
it.
that you understand how it works. And even
Yeah.
that alone, like I find that you never understand something until you do it yourself. You don't.
Absolutely.
You have to put your hands on it. It's the same thing with when I'm learning how to inject. If I'm learning how to inject Botox or filler, I can watch somebody, but until I draw it up myself and
Yeah.
do it, you don't really understand it.
Right. And yeah, and
Anyhow.
I think that one way to feel comfortable about starting as well is just, know what your income is, know what your budget is, know how much money you want to save aside for maybe a vacation or paying down your mortgage or putting or saving for a mortgage. And then take just a small percentage of your income every month and leg in. So if you think that in 1 year you can put $5,000 in or $10,000 in or $1,000 in, have that number in your head. And every month, just make a purchase of perhaps the exact same thing. So your average, your dollar, it's called dollar cost averaging. And that way you're gonna, if you did it today, obviously the market's at a high. So, I mean, it's off of its high today, but in general, we're up 30%, which is a huge banner year. So yeah, you might buy it here, and then guess what? If you do it every month, you will dollar, and it goes down next month, then you'll get a lower price and it averages out.
Over
And
time,
over
yeah.
time. So that's, I want to give that as a way to do it. The other, so that people, have something that's somewhat tactical here.
And it's also just like you talk, some people are worried, well, if I'm investing now, is it the wrong time? Is it too high? It's sort of the same thing as when you buy your first home. You know, people wonder,
Right.
are we at the top of the market? Are we at the top of the real estate market? Is now the time to buy a house? Bottom line is just as soon as you can dive in.
Yeah.
Dive in, and over time, like you said, it will work itself out. Yeah.
Right. And so I wanted to provide two areas to look at just so people can get their feet wet. One is an area that you and I have talked about already because you and I both own it, and it's the S&P 500. So the 500 largest companies in the United States are, and we bought it through an ETF, which is an exchange traded fund. And it's a little product that, not a little product. It's a product that is trying to mimic all of the companies in the S&P 500. So you have portions of the S&P 500 within the ETF. So you and I, we bought different ones because you can buy it US dollars or Canadian dollars. But nonetheless, apples to apples is what I want to show you because you can buy the US market or you can buy the Canadian market. And both are fine. So there's the TSX 60, which aims to replicate the top 60 largest companies on the TSX. The TSX is the Toronto Stock Exchange. That's our main exchange in Canada. So 60 of the largest companies, and they are in all different sectors. Now, of course, as we've talked about, because the Canadian economy is more heavily weighted to energy and financials and materials, you'll have more of those companies or a heavier weighting towards that within owning the TSX. But just as an example, Melissa, the US market, so the one that we bought, well, I bought VOO and you bought VFV. VFV is in Canadian dollars and VOO is US dollars. That's been up 30% for the past year, whereas the Canadian, the TSX 60, and the ticker there on the ETF, so it's managed by iShares. The ticker there is XIU. What do I mean by ticker? It's the symbol that represents this product. So the XIU has been up 24%. So 30% over versus 24%. That's over 1 year's, 1 year, sorry. 5 years, the US market, the same ETF, up 90%.
Wow.
The XIU, so the Canadian market, 50%. So 90% versus 50%. 11 years, 326% for the S&P 500 ETF, 214%. So over 100% different in both versus either market. But the point of all of this is that, look at 326% over 11 years. So, if you put in $100,000 and you're up 326%, you got over $300,000. So you don't
You
have
didn't
to.
have to do anything. You didn't have to do anything.
Right.
It just, your money just grew.
That's a good way to say it. And in
Yeah.
those years, there would be some good years, there would be some not good years. But
You want to look at it over the long term.
you do. And duration does matter. Like if you're 70 years old or 80 years old, your duration might change a little bit in terms of how long, what your needs are. Maybe you want to buy your kids a house, all of that in terms of when you want to buy. But in general, like put in $100 every month, buy the ETF, and that just represents the market and you're in the game. And then from there, and we'll look at this in other episodes, there's all different other ETFs that represent specific sectors like energy, this is really
Bank
important.
stocks.
Like what?
Bank stocks, a
Bank
Canadian bank,
stocks.
if you
And
want
that's
to
what I
be.
wanted. So I've actually looked at this specifically for you. Now, this is okay, because you've been saying you want to buy a bank stock, which we're going to get to because you and I both bought one. But in the United States, one ETF that represents the financial companies in the United States, it's called the XLF. It's up 32% for the year. So it's outperforming the market. At the same time, Melissa, so the XLF, it's an ETF that has a lot of different financial companies in it. So Goldman Sachs, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Visa, MasterCard, American Express. Lots of different types of financial companies that all do different things depending on what's going on in the economy. So you can buy the XLF and not have to think about which financial company should I buy, or you can buy a stock specific story. So as an example, Goldman Sachs is up 53% year to date, whereas the XLF is up 32%. So it's been a big outperformer.
Right.
So you can
Compared to
even,
buying, yeah.
so I want people
It's
to
the same
understand.
thing. If you looked at Canadian banks, if you invested in just all the Canadian banks, you wouldn't be up as much because TD has been down, right?
That's
Compared
right.
to if you just had Royal Bank. But you can also own them both. I don't know. I was looking at this now because I'm debating buying the ETF for the Canadian banks. We're just buying TD. In words, I think just TD right now.
So in some ways, if you don't want to do all the homework, but you want exposure to a certain sector, there is going to be an ETF that represents that sector. Or if there's a company you love, you can buy the company.
Yeah. So I think it's interesting also, we should look at a graph or show one on the thing. If you look at the past 100 years, how many years were up years and how many years were down years? Because people worry, they say, okay, that's great. It was all up 35%, 50%, but what about the years when it's down 35% or 50%? So I think you have to compare the number of years it was up compared to the number of years it was down. And my understanding is that the up years are a lot more than the down years.
You know what? I've never really looked at it.
But I think, yeah. So I mean, if you look at the dip, but if you look at the like the US
S&P 500.
S&P 500, so it's usually the slope of the curve is going up and up and up. Now there are a few years like the financial crisis, and there's a few years like the dot-com bubble that it went down. But by and large, the slope of the curve, I always talk about the slope of the curve because I'm used to talking about it with weight loss for people. So when I have patients come in that are losing weight, they might have a blip. They might go on a vacation or something happens and they go up. Okay, but that's a blip as long as over time you continue to go down. So I always just look at the slope of the curve. So if you look at the US stock market over 100 years, if the slope of the curve is going up, then you should feel okay that you can ride the wave. That even if you have a down year or even if, yeah, anyhow.
And by the way, it is important to point out Well, 2 points. One, we're making the point that get involved, right?
Yes.
That's the point. I will also say, though, that there are, and I've interviewed this person a number of times, and I'm actually interviewing him next week, famous investor who also believes that it's very important to, and I hate to say it, but timing. Like, I don't time the market, but in other words, if all the, signs are flashing red, like slow growth, like if you think there's a recession coming, you are better off to wait. You are better off to wait. That's his point. It's been his point to me for a long time, and he's probably not wrong.
Some people wait forever. There's been people that have
That's
been calling a recession's coming up for 5 years.
yes, that is true.
So they're waiting and waiting and waiting.
Famous
And I actually
economists.
think, don't I think if you do that dollar cost averaging and you just put your money in every quarter, because what he's basically saying is that he is trying to time the market by doing that.
He's
By
avoiding
saying,
the big
wait.
what he's doing he, to a degree. I'll bring this up with him, but what he's really doing is avoiding the big drawdowns.
Sure.
That's what he's
Yeah.
trying to do. But we only have the big drawdowns, like the bubble
That's what
burst.
I'm saying. Those downtimes are not, so yeah. So I just think sometimes you could be waiting and waiting and waiting, and sometimes you're missing out. If someone had that viewpoint 5 years ago, they would have missed out on
Absolutely.
crazy gains over the past 5 years.
Thousand
So
percent. Thousand percent. We'll talk about the bank stocks in a little bit, but let's move on to we've got a question from someone. So thanks for sending questions, everybody.
yeah.
What was the question? It was for you.
Yes, it was a question for me about the person wanted to speak about eczema and about if there's any benefit to doing food sensitivity testing. And so I'll give you my quick answers if you were in my office, my gut, and then I can also go into more depth on it. So eczema, also known as atopic dermatitis. Okay. So it's when you've got the red patch, itchy skin condition. Often people get it, they have it when they're young. It tends to be combined with what we call like an allergic triad. So people that have eczema often also have seasonal allergies and sometimes even asthma. Not always, but those three things tend to go together sometimes. And essentially, this person was saying she suffers from eczema, which tends to be worse in the wintertime when it's really dry. And she was saying, is there anything that can be done for this dry skin? Is there anything that can be done? Because she doesn't want to use steroid cream. So often, if you have eczema, the first thing we give you is a prescription corticosteroid. Why? Because it works. Now, they're pretty safe, but some people, they don't love the idea of constantly putting steroid creams on. So there are alternatives. You have non-steroidal versions, like an example, one's called Protopic that we often prescribe. In my experience, don't work quite as effectively, but that's an option. And then she brought up, well, is this related to like a food allergy? No.
No.
I don't know. You're going to get people that said, I swear I cut out gluten, I cut out dairy, and oh, I'm better. Okay. And if that's your experience, fabulous. And I don't think there's a downside to trying, So you can buy these food allergy tests or food sensitivity tests from, like, we have them at our clinic at Wellness House, or you can get them from Life Labs, or some naturopaths might have them. And if you do it, it will tell you a list of foods that you don't have like an allergy, not that you would need an EpiPen for or anything like that, but that your body might have a sensitivity to. And sometimes people might do that and then experiment with cutting out those foods and seeing if they feel better. They're not evidence-based, and in my experience, there's not a good correlation between cutting out those foods and all of a sudden something clear up. But like I said, there's some, you could try it and see. But
What's the
you should.
solution then, really, for eczema? It's got to be something.
Well, you want to keep your skin moist, so by putting on an emollient. So sometimes we recommend don't use harsh soaps, don't use things that are going to dry you out, and put on a good, strong emollient-based moisturizer. And number one, and then when you do have a flare-up, I hate to say it, but like stare. I okay. This will go into the segue into my next conversation. Okay, steroids. Oh, okay. So steroid creams are just an anti-inflammatory topical. There's very little systemic absorption. So I don't think people need to be that scared or afraid of using them in moderation. We give these to kids. My daughter had eczema. She used it as a child. It didn't concern me. It helped. I think it's, I think I would have been doing her harm to not give her that and have her suffer with constantly itchy eczema, scratch, and get infected. So, but I'll tell you, so a lot of people are worried about steroids because, especially when you take an oral steroid, it can have certain side effects. It can increase your risk for osteoporosis, which is thick bones. It can cause stomach ulcers. It can increase your risk for diabetes. So there are negative side effects. However, steroids can also be given non-orally, so topically, like we use for the skin, which when used in moderation can be just fine, and they can really help for conditions like eczema and psoriasis. And even when we were talking about chapped lips, we can the nipple cream, which is great, but if they're really bad, sometimes you need a topical steroid ointment. And then you can also inject steroids into joints for people that have joint pain. So if you're having shoulder pain, knee pain, a steroid injection can sometimes be magic. And I experienced this myself because we had a holiday dinner party at my house last week for some of my
Dance.
staff.
Oh,
Yeah. And no, that was not the dance one. This is my staff
that
one.
was not
Yeah.
the
Lots of parties. And so they started talking. Like one of the nurses was talking about how she's been having like horrible pain in her toe from arthritis. And another staff member was talking about how she's got like chronic knee pain. And one of the doctors there does a lot of steroid injections. He said, "Well, why don't you get a steroid injection?" And they said, "Well, I don't know where. I don't know who to go to." And so the next day he said, "Okay, let's go to my office and you'll get a, he'll give her them a steroid injection." So I went because since he's doing them, I wanted to, see it being done because it's something that I might want to start doing for patients as well. And while I was there, I've been having pain in my big toe, in my right toe, for the past few months. And it's bothering me so much because I, as you know, I wear a lot of high heels. And I don't want to give them up. I'm not ready to give up my high heels because I truly believe that as soon as you get out of heels, you never get back into them. Once you go flats, you don't go back, right? So I'm like, no, I want to keep, and it's also like health.
If I actually do my natural brown hair, I will
Ah!
go back to blonde.
We if yeah, exactly, then you're done, So anyhow, so I want to wear high heels. My toe's been killing me, and I've been playing a lot of tennis, and it's really bothering me. And I don't want to be taking Advil all the time. So I thought, okay, shoot me up. Give me a little steroid in my big toe. And honestly, it was like a magic eraser for pain.
Why? Like
I have no
what's in a
pain
steroid that it's
because it works for
inflammation?
inflammation. So obviously, in my big toe, I must have some tendonitis or some inflammation around the tendon there. I don't think I have arthritis, bone on bone, which it doesn't work quite as well for, but there's been a lot of inflammation there. And by putting this injection of steroid directly in the area, it just took down that inflammation, and I have no pain. Now, this isn't something you, they say you shouldn't do it more than 3 times a year. There are some things about it, but I, sometimes you don't understand how effective something is until you experience it or use it yourself. And these joint injections can be really game changing for a lot of people. They're very effective for people with like chronic rotator cuff injuries, tennis elbow, knee
Amazing.
pain.
Well, speaking of high heels, I saw today on CNBC they interviewed the woman, the founder of Spanx, because she's come out with a new product. Have you seen this?
The shoes?
The shoes.
I saw them in person because I,
Sneaks. For
yes, the sneaks.
everybody,
I almost bought a pair.
they're sneakers with a high heel. Sneaks. Sneex.
Yeah.
Online.
I almost bought a pair, but the color I want is sold out because I want the neutral color.
Okay, but did you see them online? Because I don't think she's in stores yet. I think she's wanting to do this
Oh no,
online.
online, online.
Online. Okay. So
Yeah.
anybody wants to take a look at this. But yeah, they're sold out a lot. So it's Sneaks, Sneex.
And she developed them, and she's like a billionaire right now, like the who created Spanx. And she developed them because she saw a problem that she wanted to solve for herself, which is how she initially started with her shapewear, with the Spanx line. And then her next problem was she wanted a high heel that was comfortable. She probably had this toe pain. Just think about it. If I would have given her the steroid injection in her toe, maybe the sneaks would never have been invented.
That's hysterical. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, wait, one quick update too. Something that you said, it was funny. When you have to do it yourself to know how to do something, right? So we're having a little group over for dinner tomorrow night, and I love scalloped potatoes. So I wanted to practice. I've never made them before. So last night I made an entire dish of scalloped potatoes, and they turned out well. I'm going to change it up a little bit. But as I was going to the grocery store, I was talking to one of my dear friends, and I was saying, we were talking about how you suggested, because she listens to the podcast, how you were suggesting, oh, she wasn't up at this point yet, what we talked about last week, which was for chapped lips, the hack is to go get nipple cream. So I said to her, I said, oh, because she's like, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm going to the grocery store. I just got to pick up some Gruyere cheese and some potatoes and some nipple cream.
Put it in the food.
Yeah, I know. She's like, are you sure that's really what you want to be checking out with? I'm like, and then I thought, well, yeah, that does look something. I don't know what it looks like. But then I'm like, okay, well, then I'll just get more groceries. So
Yeah.
I get more groceries, and then I go to the drugstore area and they don't have the nipple creams. So
Oh.
yeah. So anyway, I have enough
I gotta
groceries.
try it though. I'm wearing it. I'm using it right now. It's the
It does
Lanolin.
work. It feels good. Feels
Yeah, it
good.
does. And your lips look really hydrated and
Yeah,
full and
definitely hydrated. And
yeah.
so today I was doing some errands again for this dinner thing we're having tomorrow, and but I didn't feel like going to Shoppers. And my husband happened to be calling me from Shoppers. So I said to him, can you get me some nipple cream? And Melissa, and I sent him a picture of it.
Of your nipple? Of
What?
the cream.
And the crazy thing is, my husband asks me questions about everything. Like, why am I cutting up onion if we're having something else, right? He didn't ask me one question about why I need a nipple cream.
No, like female issue, not just, you know.
So crazy. I'm like, I'm completely
That's
dumbfounded.
really funny. I love it.
And he bought
Good for him.
it. I know. He's a good man.
He absolutely is. Yeah.
Good man. Yeah, that was that story. Okay, so let me just talk one second here, because you and I, for a couple of weeks now, you've been saying since the beginning you want to own a bank stock, and you're deciding whether or not you might buy an ETF in Canada that represents the banks, or TD. And actually, it was you saying yesterday, I thought you were going to buy it. And because I'd mentioned it to you last time, I think, because TD got hit hard on the stock price because of the and MoneyWise, because of the anti-money laundering issue that they were charged for, fined for in the United States. And so the stock is a big underperformer versus most banks in Canada right now. That it's, I always look at, where is it trading in relation to its 52-week low? So 52 weeks for the year. Where, like, what was the low price and what was the high price? I obviously tend to like to buy on the low side. And the range was $73 to 87. That's a pretty big range for a bank stock, because they don't really move around that much. And it's trading maybe around $73. So it was funny, because yesterday I thought you said you were buying it. And I'm like, yeah, I forgot about that. So I went and bought it today, and you still haven't bought it.
No, I haven't. I haven't.
No, but anyway, I did buy it, and I
I think
feel I'm not in love with it necessarily, right? And you don't need to be, but I'm buying it at a low. Could go lower. It's got some hair on it, which means it's got some obviously negative issues surrounding it because of the money laundering issue. But maybe that's in the past. So I'm hoping I'll get some share price appreciation so that the stock goes up from here. And meanwhile, I'm getting paid a 5.4%
And
dividend yield. So I'm getting paid to wait.
correct. And if you are thinking this way, and I am thinking this way, and my guess is a lot of people are thinking this way, and the more people that start buying the stock,
You're right.
so.
And to your point, Jefferies, so one of the investment banks in the United States, they actually upgraded TD today and
There you
upgraded
go.
the price stock.
There you go.
the price target for the stock.
Yeah. So,
Yeah. And by the
okay.
way, the XTD employee in the United one an XTD employee was arrested and charged in facilitating
Sure.
money laundering. I think that was today's news.
Okay, so they were, because I think a lot of people were saying, how come, other people got arrested and went to jail for other, so I think it was like the Binance
FTX.
guy.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Oh,
well,
Binance
he,
too.
but
Yeah.
also he, and it seems like no charges were laid on this TD thing, and it just seemed like that was going to be coming. So makes sense.
On the individuals, you mean? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What's this last one you want to talk about? Fioza.
Oh yeah, that's just real quick. So Fioza just got approved, Health Canada approval. It's the first non-hormone treatment for menopausal vasomotor symptoms, meaning hot flashes, basically. So if
Great.
you're going through perimenopause or menopause and you're really struggling with hot flashes or night sweats and you don't want to take a hormone, either you're against hormone therapy or maybe you can't because of other health conditions you have, this is now an option for people. Yeah.
That's pretty great.
Yeah, so I don't have any, I haven't prescribed it yet. I don't have any patients on it, so I haven't had any firsthand experience like hearing from someone that's taken it. But yeah, if it works and helps people and they, for people especially that can't take hormones, then great.
Yeah, and some people still don't even want to, even though there's.
Right, even if they could, they don't want to take hormones. So, yeah.
Oh, one other thing, we were talking about having a plan to get started investing. So I'm shifting focus here for a second. I've struggled a bit with my Tesla position. So I bought Tesla right prior to President Trump being elected, obviously with a close relationship with Elon Musk, but also a number of fundamentals that have developed, including the fact that GM, after having spent about $10 billion the other day. So this week, GM came out and said that they're going to move away from trying to have a robo-taxi, if you can believe it, after all that money being spent. And so that helped the Tesla stock. So Tesla's up by about 64%. So I've made
Wow.
64% in only a few weeks, which, and so I was talking to somebody today about this. And he was a big hedge fund guy, and he said to me, he goes, "Well, whenever you buy anything, you always have to have a plan." I'm like, "Oh yeah, I have no plan when it comes to my Tesla stock." The plan being, if it's up 20%, are you going to take some profits? If it's up 50%, like, you have to know when you're going to sell some of it, if you want to, or at least take profits. And then the opposite is true too. There are some people who, if a stock is down 10%, they exit it right away. They don't want
This
to
needs
wait
to
for the
be a
news.
whole segment. This needs to
Okay.
be a whole discussion because I
Okay.
think knowing when that this is something that I struggle with, I've been talking about recently, and I think you're 100%, there's some strategy, you if you're long term, you buy the index and just hold it forever, sure. But if you're actually looking to, buy some, take profit, because like you said, it's gone up and look at all the money you've made on paper, right?
Right,
Because once you
right.
sell the stock, you haven't made any money. It just looks like you have.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
And the problem I have is that I know I want to own it long term, but I also know the stock is volatile.
right.
So, but I thought that was important to point out. You have to have a plan. You have to know how much you're willing to lose as well. If you lose 10%, you're okay. You're still in the game. You probably don't want to lose all of it. But I wouldn't be ever afraid of losing. And by the way, sometimes that's your best lesson.
Yeah, totally.
But I always also feel like when you learn, when you continue to understand the market, what's going on in the economy, dollar cost averaging, choose some nice companies if you want to own some nice companies as well. Like when things go down, and my husband is he's like, "It's down." I'm like, "Yeah, but like the story hasn't changed. Do you are people still going to drink Coca-Cola?" "Yes." "Then why are you worried? You don't need to worry." It's that kind of. So you just have to understand yourself and understand the stories. So,
100%.
Melissa, I think that's it on my end. What about you?
Yeah, that's
What
it. I gotta go for
do
now.
you?
I
Are
gotta
you
make
going out?
dinner. Yeah, I'm going home. Fourth night in a row or whatever. There's so many holiday dinners, and it was funny. I was bragging. I used to be excited when I had plans, and I was bragging like, "Oh, I'm so excited! I get to stay home tonight." And I forgot that I had made these plans to go up for sushi with some girlfriends. But anyhow,
That'll
let's
be fun.
put catch up. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to be making red cabbage for my dinner tomorrow night.
And your scalloped potatoes.
Yeah, that'll do tomorrow.
Okay.
You have fun. Okay. All right,
Thanks.
bye, everybody. Thanks for
Bye.
listening.